Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting podcast. Visit our website at www.oalaig.org, where you'll find three separate speaker feeds with over 400 speaker files, forms for ordering CDs for these speakers, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Lauren.
Hi, I'm Lauren, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And welcome to all the newcomers and people coming back, and happy birthday. I'm really happy to be here, and thank you for asking me to be here. I have some pictures going around. They're not super fancy. Can't really find the originals. But they show you what it was like for me. I've been in program for a little over 7 years, and right now I'm abstinent for, it'll be 21 months this time. And as of this last Wednesday, I'm down 101 pounds from my top weight when I came in. So I kind of can't believe it. But here I am anyway. This is definitely the least amount I've weighed in my adult life. I wish that I knew how much I weighed like in college, but I have no idea. So definitely as an adult. And it is new. It's very new. But, you know, and I've heard people say this before, but it's true. It's, you know, you can lose a lot of weight, and I'm still me. I mean, I'm different. Life is good, and my head is better. And but I'm still Lauren. I'm happy to be Lauren, but things aren't as different as maybe I would have thought, because, like I said, I've never been at a healthy body weight as an adult, so I really didn't know. So basically, what it was like. I identify as a compulsive overeater, and I grew up in a house with an addict parent and with a divorce. And what I'm realizing about myself is that I'm extremely sensitive, and I knew that I had a little bit of low-grade depression, but what I really didn't realize until I put down the food was the anxiety that I felt. And I come from a place of feeling like I am not enough. There's something wrong with me. I still see it. I still work on it every day. I work on it. I'm not good enough. There is something wrong with me. And I've got to do what other people need me to do, and that's where I come from. So I grow up and I eat a lot. One of my earliest memories is being excited about the ice cream man with the truck. Another memory is being really excited about my Raggedy Ann birthday cake when I was like 4. I remember when I was in preschool, and one day my brother and I had to stay for lunch, which we didn't usually, and what the kids were having was plain tuna with nothing in it. And I remember as like a 5-year-old thinking, oh my God, these poor kids, they have to eat tuna without mayonnaise? That's horrible. What a horrible life. So I know that I had opinions about food going way back. Grew up, middle school, high school, and then I think I was at a more normal weight than I remember being. But then when I went to college, when I graduated, I was 220 pounds. So that was the most at that time. And then I got out into the world, and I was always trying to be the best girl possible. I think it was part of my growing up in an addict home where I felt like if I could just be perfect and not cause any trouble, that I wouldn't prompt anyone to act out in their own ways. And so if I was good, I would not be a reason why they were doing things and therefore not taking care of me. So then when I graduated college, that's when I started smoking cigarettes and pot. So I did that for like a decade. I worked. I, you know, had a good job. I still do. I still have the same job. I've been working there for 15 years. But I was in New York City, and what I did was I had my core group of friends, and you know, and it started. And otherwise, I would be home, and I would be eating. I mean, I think it's a pretty typical story. Mostly, it was started on the weekends with like the real checking out with, you know, getting high and eating. I learned pretty quickly that I had to order in because I was always burning myself on the oven when I was smoking. So I couldn't do that anymore. And yeah, that's what I did. And then, you know, it started to creep into, you know, days of the week. And I was very, you know, it was very ritualized and very planned and very, I will take care of everything I need to before I do all my stuff, you know, and then I won't have to answer the phone, and, you know, I'll make sure all my bills are paid, all my phone calls are answered, anything that had to be done, it would be done, and then I could smoke my pot and watch my TV and eat. So that is what I did for, like I said, pretty much kind of a decade. And then I moved out here 8 years ago. I was tired of New York City. Anybody who's listening, I love it there. I lived there for 9 years. I really do. I'm from upstate New York. But I was done. For me, I like to call it hardcore urban living, and I was done with it and the weather. So I asked my workplace if I could move my job out here, and they said yes. So I did. What happened? I moved here, and I ate and ate and ate, and I decided I wanted to get some exercise, so I joined a group that has you know, trained to walk the LA Marathon. I'm not a good runner, my body doesn't like it, so I decided I would walk it, and I really did it as just a, like as an exercise plan, and I really didn't think about actually the marathon itself, which is why I think I kind of succeeded doing it. But I was like 240 pounds, and I have to say I'm so lucky. I feel like I've always been one of like the fittest fat people I've known, and yeah, and like not had a lot of, seriously, knock on this without so lucky. I never had high blood pressure. I have no idea how this happened, and have always been strong and able to exercise. And so anyway, so I did it. Later found out that, like, way after that, my family was actually very concerned about me doing it, wondering how, like, someone who weighed that much, like, would they be able to, you know, walk 26 miles? And I knew it would be fine. But I get it. But so this is what it taught me, training and walking the LA Marathon, because, you know, if anyone has done it, you know, you can train for 5 or 6 months, and you know, gradually up the miles, but, you know, on any given Saturday, I could walk 15 miles, and I did not lose any weight during that whole entire time, not at all. So to me, that really shows how much about the food it is, and I had this great plan of, you know, getting up really early in the morning on Saturday, walking my miles, and then, you know, going to the supermarket, getting my binge foods, going home, taking a nap, smoking, and eating. So I did that. But hey, I did. I walked the marathon. I did it. So then after that, I think it did help me maintain, because then I really did. I gained another, like, I don't know, 20 pounds after that, which got me to the 255, which was my top weight. And finally, this is. All of the checking out I did didn't really kind of hit me. The thing that really got me to realize that my thinking was messed up was that I realized I was only smoking pot so that it was easier to binge. I didn't care about getting high at all. I wanted to be able to stuff my face, just better, stronger, faster. And that's what I said to myself. Something doesn't seem right here. And also, I, was so unhappy, and I knew, I was able to say to myself, you are killing yourself. I was talking to myself. I am killing myself, and I don't care. I'm acknowledging it openly to myself, and I do not care. And luckily, I didn't live in that space very long, because I came into the rooms not long after that. But actually, what I had done was, when I lived in New York, I did go to a handful of meetings in New York, and it did not take for me at all. I didn't get it. Moved out here. I was going to go to my first meeting like about 6 months before I actually did start working the program, and I remember it was at the log cabin on Monday night, and I remember driving up there and looking around and being like, yeah, I don't know where to park. I'm going home. So I did. I did not stick around. And then, and I do want to say I did know about 12-step programs because I had a close family member who worked one, and it was working for them, and which was really nice, and I could see their life changing, and so I knew about it, and I knew about OA, but you know, didn't do it yet. So I did. So 7 years ago, I started working the program. And for me, it worked for me right away. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. Also what got me in here was, so I'd gotten to the point where I realized I was killing myself and I didn't care and that I had to lose weight. And so I went to a commercial diet plan and, in the first week gained 2.5 pounds. and I think that was when I said, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. So here I am. So I came into the rooms. I remember I was ready. I'm very grateful that I was. I remember being very wondering, how do I get started? What do I do? What am I going to do? And for people who are newcomers, basically the first thing people told me was to keep coming back to meetings. And it's good. Point to mention that if you don't hear anything familiar from me that you connect to, then please keep going to meetings. I've heard people say go to at least 6 before you decide if you want to stick around. But I'd say go to more if you're still not sure. But people told me find a sponsor because you need to start working the steps. And so I said, okay, I'll do that. How does one do that? And I found that very stressful for a little while. But I think within 2 weeks, I did end up, I heard someone lead at a meeting. I went up and I asked her if she would be my sponsor. And she said, yeah, give me a call. And I did. And I worked for her for a number of years. And I worked on the steps. And I actually stayed on that commercial food plan. That was my food plan for a while. And at that point, in my first year, I lost like 60 pounds, and that was my first year. And then, honestly, it's been 7 years. I have no idea what happened. There was a few years where I was just maintaining, and then I think I just wasn't, you know, I finished working the steps. I definitely find that when I'm actively working the steps is when my program is good. There's a lot less chance that I'm going to lose my way if I'm actively working them. So I finished all the steps and I wasn't actually working them. And I was, you know, I'm going to meetings and I didn't have any real food plan. And, you know, fast forward to a few years later and I've gained about 40 pounds and I'm not abstinent anymore. So that kind of happened twice. I started over two times. Second time after I ate a box of Girl Scout cookies, they were good. But so that was my last. That was my last binge a few years ago. But while all that was going on, I was still going to meetings. I was always going to meetings and coming back and. What I really tried to do, and I think I did this for about a year and a half or 2 years, was I really tried to listen to people who were 100-pounders and, you know, what do they do? Because that was what I related to that. So, and what I heard was I heard committing food every day. I heard lots of meetings I heard lots of honesty. This is what these people did who lost a lot of weight and kept it off. And I would listen, and I would think, oh, okay, great. When I feel like I'm ready for all that kind of action, I'll do something about it, I guess. But in my head, it was just like I was collecting information about how to work the program, or work it even more. So then, started my abstinence over, started doing 3 meals a day with an optional snack and no binging, and still was unhappy. I was abstinent. I definitely wasn't losing any weight. And I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I was at my Saturday morning meeting, and I turned to someone who I'd seen in the rooms, didn't really know, kind of intimidated me. And I feel like I hear that. You get a lot of results out of talking to people who intimidate you. But I know I do. But and I just turned to him and said, I am tired of this not working. And he said, do you have a sponsor? And I said, you know what? I actually don't right now. I had a temporary sponsor. So he said, go find one. And I said, okay. And so I talked to other program people, and one of them directed me to a meeting where I had not been before, and actually introduced me to the nice lady who became my sponsor, and we started working together, and then a little over a year ago, and that was the start of a new chapter in my program, because I knew when I... I keep meaning to tell her this, but I knew when I met her that I had seen her, that she worked a strong program, and I had, the first time I had seen her had been years ago at a birthday party where she was helping out at a one of the workshops there. So I had remembered her for many years. So then when, so I don't think she knew me, but when I met her, I had known who she was. But so we started working together, and here's what I do, because this is so it's so important to my life right now, and will be. These are like the logistics, the actions. So I commit my food in the morning, which the day before I started doing it, I never would have believed that I would have been willing to do it. I commit my food in the morning. I talk to my sponsor Monday through Friday for 15 minutes in the morning. I pray every day, talk to God, connect with God. I go to 5 meetings a week, and 2 service commitments at them. And those are the hard things that, not hard, but the definite things I do every day. Yeah. And for me, it's committing my food in the morning is so amazing, because it takes my emotions out of it. I don't have to worry about, especially at work. Oh my gosh! Like, if I'm having a stressful day at work, I want to reward myself with lunch like it ain't nobody's business. So I don't do that anymore, because I know exactly what I'm eating. If I want to reward myself a little more spinach in my salad, then more power to me. But yeah, and even when things are good, the example I like to use is that I bought a condo, which I'm very excited about. And when I found out it was me and these other people who were put in a bid for it, and when my agent called me and told me that I had won it, I was so excited. And it was right before lunch, and I thought to myself, thank God I know what I'm eating for lunch today already, because I want to celebrate. I want to have a celebratory lunch. So I am really glad not to have, to kind of have my options taken away from me. I make the option every morning. Here's the other thing, is that I do kind of believe in the, I don't know where it comes from in our literature or our program or whatever, about abstinence being either at a healthy body weight or on your way towards it. But I like thinking of it that way, and I'm still kind of on my way. And, so in the morning, when I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat for the rest of the day, I don't have no sugar on, or no dessert or anything like that on my abstinence, but But I haven't had dessert in over a year because at 6 o'clock in the morning, it does not seem like a good idea if I want to be going towards a healthy body weight to commit to dessert at, you know, like 14 hours later. It just doesn't make sense. So it really, like I said, it kind of takes my crazy head out of it. So this is what I do right now. I also want to tell you about God, because God is such a huge, obviously, part of my life and my program, and really kind of unexpected, even though I know that we're supposed to have a, you know, that we have a higher power that gets us through everything. So before I came into program, I'm Jewish, grew up Jewish. I believed in God, but not anything specific. It's more like I didn't not believe in Him than I did believe in Him. And I know that the years leading up towards me coming into program, that I knew that I felt a hole. I knew I felt like there was a hole, and I knew that I wanted to spiritually fill it, and I knew that I was, you know, investigating in my own religion and reading different things, and I knew that there was something that was missing. And as soon as I got here, it was filled. I know that for sure. Even before I, you know, worked as even before I did my want ad for God and step two or anything like that, I just I felt like that this was the right spiritual path. So now I don't know how or why I began to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, but I do. There's so many different ways for me to connect with God and think about God and consider God in my life. One of the things I realized that I'm really grateful for was, for me, is that God doesn't not make bad things happen, but God, life is going to happen, and God will help me get through whatever it is. And when things happen, I don't need to either praise or condemn God for doing these things to me, because I do believe that life happens and that God is the one that will help me get through them. And then I also think about God as, you know, my higher self. Without my brain, my upbringing, the things that made me who I am and the stories I still tell myself, it's that pausing and asking, where I can kind of take myself out of it and say, you know, what is the right thing to do right now? What should I do right now? And it works. It works for me. And the more I practice it, and it's taken years. I mean, years. All this stuff is taking me years to do. But I just said this to someone else that and it's true. I believe it. The years are going to pass anyway, so I might as well keep doing this stuff, because I'm going to be able to, in 5 years, I'll look back and think, what if I had kept on this path, like what, how much stronger this program could be, because I'm not explaining it well, but the time's going to pass anyway. I'm going to get older. I'm going to continue to live more life, so as long as I can bring God into it now, I'll be working towards even a better relationship. Yesterday. Okay, so I'm going to dinner in a few. I'm going to a nice dinner with my family in a few nights. And since I have been losing weight recently, I need some clothes. So I decided yesterday to go to the mall and look for, you know, a nice outfit to wear, which I found. And but at the same time, I needed pants. I need pants. So, which is also very exciting, because it's a size that I'm definitely not used to wearing. And I was getting so frustrated because I was trying on all sorts of pants, and some pants were fitting me, but they didn't look good. And that's another thing that losing weight doesn't always solve. Clothes are all different. really, I totally want to learn how to make my own clothes, or I could just tailor them towards my particular body. Because you can still try on, like, 20 pairs of pants and have them not look good on you. It's so frustrating. So I was walking around and the store, and I literally had to ask God. And this is what's awesome about having a God that you can just talk to and who's a part of your life, because I can say something like, all right, God, I need just direct me towards the pants. Direct me towards my pants. I need some pants, like, right now. I'm getting frustrated, dehydrated. I get thirsty when I shop, and show me the pants. And I literally said, just direct me there, where, have me turn where you want me to go. And I swear to you, God, in 20 seconds, I found the pants. It was awesome. Yeah. And that's, you know, it was such a simple example, but I don't know. But it's, you know, it's a relatable example of how God is good. How else am I? Okay. Here is how I want God to be helping me right now, you guys, seriously. Because one of the huge, I have a great life. I have great friends. I have a great family. I have a great place. I have a great job. Some of these things annoy me, but sometimes, but they're all great. But the holy grail, which has always been true for me, is a relationship with a man. For me, it's just been, it's one of the mysteries of life. And, this kind of made it clear to me how, it's getting better. I'm working through it, but like what kind of a block there is, because I am working on my fourth step right now with my sponsor. And so I'm working on it. And the other day she asked me how, awesome, thank you. She asked me how getting started with dating was going, because I had said, I'm going to start dating. I'm going to write a profile and all that stuff, because that's kind of the only way I know how to do it. But, and I've been dragging my feet for months on it, and she asked me, how's it going with dating? I was like, what's going on? And she said, well, do you want to put a deadline, a timeline on it of when you're going to, like, finish your profile? And my reaction was, what? What do you mean? Don't you want to talk about why my fourth step isn't done? Why do I have to talk about dating? I'd rather do my fourth step than date. That's what I'm saying. So that's my biggest thing. That is what I want God to help me with right now. I feel like the 10 minutes was, a good reason to wrap it up and see if anybody has any questions. So, thank you. The question is, if I commit my food in the morning, then if I'm not sure what my plans are going to be later in the day, how do I handle that? So, two things. As soon as I do know, I usually text my sponsor and tell her, but I usually set up a guideline ahead of time of what I think it'll be. So if I'm pretty sure I can get, like, I'll just say I'm going to have fish and vegetables, and then I'll see when I get there what exactly that is. And it just happened like the other day where I had no idea what was on the menu. I was going to a place, I had no idea what was on the menu. I didn't even know if they were going to have salad, but I said, I'm going to say a salad with chicken. Hopefully they're going to have it. If not, I'll let you know. But at this point, I kind of stick to the same stuff. So I do my best with trying to figure it out. And it's, you know, there are times when I get there and, I look at the menu and I think, yep, before I know what's on the menu, and if I've said, I'm going to have fish and vegetables, and I think, all right, I guess I have to do that, even though it looks like there's some stuff here. But I do it, because it works. It works. That's what works, and it makes me feel good. And I've never felt, I feel so good, you guys. I feel like I feel like this is a way of life that really, really, really works for me. And I want to do it. And this is not part of your question, but I've had to make programs so much bigger in my life, so much bigger, and it only makes my life better. And I want to do it. I never would have known that. I never would have known that until I actually did it. And it's one of those things, like meditating for me. I don't know why I like it. I don't know why it works. I just know that it does. Yeah, thank you. So what's my relationship with the scale? And how do I either not celebrate or get down for myself? I forgot to mention that is actually one of the things that is part of my, part of what I do is I weigh myself once a week and I tell my sponsor about it, and it keeps me accountable, I'll tell you. I was never big into weighing myself. I never really thought about it a lot. I don't have a problem right now doing it other than like kind of any normal kind of problem. But I'm not someone who has a history of like I would weigh myself all the time or like that. In fact, I have the same scale I've had for like years and years and years, but I've gone years and years and years without getting on it at all. Okay, so what's my relationship with it? It's still challenging, but sometimes I go kind of the opposite way of when I am losing weight, of not wanting to get too excited about it. So I'm just kind of like, yeah, you know, it's cool, lost 2 pounds, whatever. If I don't, it gets super scary because I'm afraid that I'm going to have to change my food. and that gets really, really scary. And I had a long stretch where I was maintaining, and then a few times where I would gain. But as I'm told, it's information. That is what it is. It is information. And what I tell them every time that I got scared about, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to change my food, if I'm gaining weight, then I would try to direct my thoughts to God and say, if I have to do that, God, you're going to have to help me do it because I don't want to do it. I do not want to deal with it. So please make it okay, whatever it is. Please make it okay. Thanks. How do I handle the holidays? Well, I know for Thanksgiving, I like thinking, I've heard it called Thursday. So I really like that. It makes it a lot easier. When I'm with family and stuff or big events, and this could be any time of year where there's going to be a lot of food, I like to remind myself to be of service, that I'm going to be of service, even if it's as simple as realizing that if it's someone's birthday and you're going to it, then you're showing up for them because they, you know, you invite people to come places and you want them to come because you want to feel special. And so, even just showing up is being of service. But especially like in a family situation, in the past I would maybe be a little more resentful. I would always help because I'm a good girl. But I might be resentful about it. But now it's a perception. It's a shift in thinking of if I help because I literally want to be helpful and that I know that it'll keep me away from food, then I'm much happier to do it. It's really like, you know, why am I here? And I've definitely heard, you know, you go to places to be with the people, and sometimes the people are challenging. and not for the food, but yeah, being of service, talking about it. Oh, that's another thing that's totally different about my program now that I never really let myself do before is just talking about the little stuff that bother me. Even in the past when I would talk to sponsors or even in the morning, I wouldn't bring up the little stuff. Like I just brought up that I'm stressed out about buying gifts for people. And then I got to have a whole conversation about that and get into that. And in the past, I just wouldn't have thought it was lame. It's not important enough. But that's exactly the kind of stuff that, you know, stresses me out. So it's good. For me, it's good to just talk about all the little things that are bothering me. But talking about if I'm having fears about it. yeah, that's my holiday stuff. Oh, thanks for, yeah, cool, totally. How does having, being with a higher power, how does that show up in my work life? Really awesome, because I can, because then I have someone to ask for help, and it's like, and I know I've kind of been taught, like, who's my boss? God's my boss. So, and even if sometimes I'm scared because I feel like I'm in charge, I'm really still number two, because God is in charge and not me. And I find it very helpful. Like, if I see somebody's name pop up on my phone, then I'm like, oh, God, help me. I can literally say, hey, God, please tell me there's this person, like, really quick, and then answer the phone. I just said to someone the other day that program has, like, completely changed my, I don't know how I would do my job, thank you, without having worked the steps and without asking my higher power for help. So, thank you.
Thank you, Lauren.